श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, सद्भुज औरंग जी की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बालादेव सुभद्रा की जय, श्री रथ यात्रा महामहोत्सव की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रमाण सो Good evening to all of you. Pranam again to all the present ones. And here we are today sharing some words of honor and praise at the festival of chariots that we are celebrating today, Sri Rath Yatra. There has been considerable Udicha Marjan Lila yesterday and even today, so hopefully heart is prepared for welcoming the Lord of the universe, if you will, in our hearts. He's the Lord of the universe, but we want him to be the Lord of our hearts, ultimately. Praneshwar, Prananath. Like a month ago, 3 weeks ago, Mukunda Prabhu from Lachwa invited me to share some words regarding Rath Yatra, because he was sharing some series of of katha with some devotees, and they were like kind of preparing the stage for today, so they started speaking about Rath Yatra like a month before, which sometimes happens to be the case. In the attempt to trying to arrive to the official day, somehow prepare for that. Like when, sometimes we mentioned the other day, when nowadays you may travel to the dam by plane, and physically you are there in a few hours, but mentally you arrive two weeks after that. And maybe after 10 days you have to leave. But In the older times, you were going there by walking or by cart or something, so they would take months to arrive. But in your mind, you arrived there before arriving physically. The whole long journey created this anticipation and this prospect, and you already arguably arrived there before arriving there physically. So similarly, sometimes these great festivities like Rath Yatra and so many others are anticipated by Vaishnavas. Some anticipation, basically, not just like, okay, tomorrow is Gaur Purnim, let's meditate on Mahaprabhu. But somehow, let's try to anticipate that. No? And sometimes they will share a series of katha, like 1 month before or something like this. So whenever comes the day, whatever it may be, it warrants you are there. You are actually celebrating this. And so somehow, we shared some words like a month ago about Rath Yatra. And Mukunda Prabhu invited me to speak more. I mean, he invited me to speak on Rath Yatra, and I chose to speak about Rath Yatra from the perspective of Kurukshetra Dham. And today, in complement with that, today is the official day of Rath Yatra. I'd like to share some words regarding Rath Yatra, but seen from the Dwarka perspective, if you will, which is somehow complementary. And of course, all of this through the lens of our particular tradition, which is, of course, a particular lens through which we appreciate reality, one of many valid ones, through one particular Siddhanta, and therefore we belong to a particular Sampradaya. And Sampradaya means something which fully gives, Sampradaya, which gives what? A particular thought. It's a school of thought, Sampradaya. So it gives a particular Siddhanta, and that takes us to appreciate reality from a particular perspective. Basically, reality is like a multifaceted jewel that can be approached from one side or the other. And being members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is a very specific school of thought, we approach reality in very unique ways, as you already are familiar with. And Jagannath, is not the exception to that rule. Jagannath is conceived and approached in so many different ways by so many different people. Jagannath Puri evening, from Buddhists to up to Christians, up to followers of Shankaracharya, other branches of Vaishnavism, and Gaudiya Vaishnavism in particular. That's our focus today. So my point is, today Rath Yatra has been celebrated, but so many will celebrate it from different perspectives. And I'm not saying they are not valid, it's just different perspectives. So even in our own tradition, we can approach Rath Yatra from different perspectives, as we spoke already. From the Kurukshetra perspective, today we will lean more toward the Dwarka lens, if you will. But all of that is in our Sampradaya. But before, some brief words regarding what we shared a month ago regarding Kurukshetra, because it's just quite connected nonetheless. And as we spoke the other day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's day, Gadadhar Bhav, Thirubhav's, Krishna meets the Brajavas in Kurukshetra, like after 100 years of separation. I mean, you cannot even conceive to live 100 years, what to speak to be separated from someone for 100 years, and what to speak of after 100 years of separation, still love keeps growing. So more inconceivable and inconceivable. So you try to imagine, after such a situation, love keeps growing, meeting is there after a century, and everything is there for consummating the reunion, except for one thing, which is one of the most crucial ones, which is the stage on which the drama will be performed. So it's like, okay, we have a drama today, but unfortunately the stage is not there, or it's broken, or has not arrived. So result, drama cancelled. You have to give the money back for the tickets and all that thing. So Krishna and the gopis are there in Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, and Krishna's inviting them to join us. As we know, he will say, they will say, it's not possible, stage is not there, Vrindavan is not there, the playground is not there, Bhavan is not there, forest is not there, Jamon is not there, flute is not there, peacock feather is not there, you are not there, and therefore we are not there. So it's not possible. So of course, the symbology of all this will be, by this, Krishna is asking to the gopis, come with me to Dwarka, and the gopis say, no, come with us to Vrindavan. Our hearts is Vrindavan. And interestingly, this meeting in Kurukshetra, this is the only time that the Braja gopis are leaving Vrindavan. They never go out of Vrindavan, basically. But they go out of Vrindavan for this particular occasion to make a point, and they return to Vrindavan. They go out of Vrindavan to make a point promoting the glory of Vrindavan, and they return to Vrindavan. Like we said the other day, Gadadhar Pandit, no? Crossed the limits, the borders of Jagannath Puri to make a point. He went back to Jagannath Puri to make a point in the context of Seva. So in that particular mood, Kurukshetra delivers a certain view of the Rath Yatra, and Mahaprabhu himself, he participated, he celebrated Rath Yatra by entering into this particular window, the Kurukshetra window, mostly, as we know. He's dancing and singing in the sacred procession of Rath Yatra, and suddenly he starts to sing what our Guru Maharaj will say, a pop song. What will be a pop song in modern times? In that time will be some verse from secular poetry in which a girl is expressing her being close to her beloved, and so many things are there, but something is missing there. The particular circumstance, if you will, the particular details that help to consummate the union are not there, so she cannot fully get to that point. So Mahaprabhu is singing this song that basically a few understand, and then, as we know, Rupa Goswami like decrypts, you say in English? And he writes his own verse, in which he's expressing how Sri Radha is actually saying that Mahaprabhu was in Radhabhav in Rath Yatra in Puri, expressing what Sri Radha felt when she was next to Krishna but not able to meet him. So only Rupa Goswami knew his mind, well, Sarup Damodar as well. Mahaprabhu read that verse, he blushed, and he slapped Rupa Goswami, like, how can you know me that much? This is too much that you know my mind. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. That's why this glorification comes then. Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Sri Rupa was able to establish the mind of Mahaprabhu in the world because he knew the mind of Mahaprabhu so well. And if there is one lila that shows how much he knew Mahaprabhu's mind, is this one, Rath Yatra. So basically, this Rath Yatra and the Kurukshetra idea is the gopis are telling Krishna, we cannot go with you to Dwarka, you come with us to Vrindavan. Without Vrindavan, we cannot consummate our final union. And interestingly, technically, strictly speaking, that didn't happen, literally. It's not that after Kurukshetra, Krishna said, okay, let's go to Vrindavan. But the point was made. The point was made. So Rath Yatra makes this point from the Kurukshetra perspective. Like, without Vrindavan, there is not possible. Without Vrindavan, there is no Vrindavan Krishna, no Braja Krishna. And only the gopis want that, want the feet of those Braja Krishna, of that Braja Krishna walking into the pastures of Raj. That's what they say. What's the verse? Ahuschatena lina lava padara vindam yogeshwarai ridivichintya magada bodhav samsara kuppa patito taranava lambam gejastujam masim apimanasya diyachama sadhana. They say, yeah, basically we are material, we are entangled ladies, like are entangled in the samsara material world with our domestic duties, the gopis say. We are not great yogis like those who meditate on your feet. So what we want is your feet residing in our hearts. So the point is, what's the gopis' hearts? Vrindavan. So when they say, we want your feet in our hearts, means we want your feet walking back in Braj. That's what we want. That's the only thing that can satisfy us, save us. So this is Rath Yatra, basically. A very interesting celebration. As we were speaking with one devotee some weeks ago in Michigan, one says Rath Yatra is the festival of vulnerability. As we'll see, in which God himself is so much affected by love and separation, and expressing that, whether it's Jagannath, whether it's Mahaprabhu, in Radha Bhav, etc. We were laughing. He was telling me, Maharaj, sometimes, because I asked him, there was some Rath Yatra who was to perform in a few days when we were speaking a month ago. And I said, are you going? And he told me, to be honest, Maharaj, I'm not that inspired to go, because nowadays for many, Rath Yatra is more like a social event, and everyone goes there with their best face and cloth. And when you study what Rath Yatra actually means, I prefer to stay here and try to enter into the mood of vulnerability and separation. And not criticizing anyone, but he choosing, like, it's a festival of vulnerability. It's not a festival for, like, my best face on the picture with Jagannath. Hey, Jagannath. Like this type of point, he was saying. So it's an introspective moment. We are trying to accompany Bhagavan in a moment of greatest necessity, as we were speaking this day. Lots of vulnerability and lots of potential empowerment coming from that vulnerability. So we spoke about that some a month ago, Rath Yatra from the Kurukshetra perspective, and today we will go to Dwarka. And I would like to share basically two main narratives about that are presented in connection to Rath Yatra in relation to Dwarka Dham. But first, I'd like to introduce the whole thing with some introduction to how Brajabhav plays out in Dwarka, and what's the role of Dwarka Lila in connection to Vrindavan. No? Because as we know, Krishna resides in Vrindavan in his Prakat Lila for 11 years, approximately, a few months more. And then he goes to Mathura for a brief period of time, and then he goes to Dwarka for a longer period of time. More than a century, interestingly. But interestingly for us Gaudiyas, the period in Vrindavan is the most crucial. Your first 11 years, you acquire the main samskaras. Then you cannot change. So Krishna spent his main first years in Vrindavan. That's what he was. No matter where he were, he seemed someone else, but actually he was a Brajavasi at heart. So as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, this Mathura Lila and this Dwarka Lila are reflecting back on Vrindavan. If properly understood, indirectly, they are pointing to the glory of Braj by contrast. by showing a different type of love. And if you're following properly the narrative, you will always go back and realize, oh, this Vraja Bhava is unique. It's the main point of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is 9 cantos building up to Vrindavan, and then after the Vrindavan Lila, more chapters are dedicated to Lilas outside of Vrindavan in the 10th canto, and on top of that you have 11th and 12th canto. So if you don't have proper guidance, you may not understand that this is the main focal point of the Bhagavatam, because you may say, oh, yes, there are some chapters, like whatever, some 39 chapters or something, then Akura comes, takes Krishna out, and then you have like 50 chapters for Mathura and Dwarka Lila, 2 more cantos, and 9 cantos in the beginning. So in numbers, it doesn't seem that extravagant thing. But again, we Gaudias are not about numbers, about quantity, not quality. So if properly understood, all these first 9 cantos, all these remaining 50 chapters in the 10th canto, 2 cantos at the end, all of them to build up to proper understanding of Raja Lila, and then reflect back to guarantee that we properly understood the chapters on Raja Lila, all the remaining sections. So I'd like to introduce first by sharing some narrative from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad, where he's very, very beautifully depicting the nature of Braja Bhava and how that's hitting Krishna while he is in Dwarka. He very beautifully narrates that. So I'll share some narrative and share also some verses, literally how he's sharing. If you would like to go through the whole thing in detail, which I recommend, this is mostly in chapter 6 and 7 of the first part of the book. So basically the general scene, again, I'm giving a summary here. Krishna is in Dwarka. And he's extremely disturbed in separation from the inhabitants of Raj. So a day like today, we could say, if you want to create further empathy, he's crying. Krishna is crying in his room, in his royal room in Dwarka, and not going out. So it's like, I don't know, you have the president of Finland and everyone is waiting for him in the whatever White House, Red House, I don't know which color is here. Every country they have a different color. And he's not coming, and they are calling, the president has not come. To what's going on? He's in his room, he's not opening the door. And we hear that he's crying and crying and crying since the morning. It's midday, he's not coming. And we're knocking, he's just crying. You get preoccupied, what's going on here? So that's the situation. Krishna in Dwarka is basically the all-in-all there, even in terms of Kshatriya-like functions, and they're waiting for him to begin their day, but he's not coming out of his room, and he's crying. They never saw him like that, basically. They got some hints here and there, as we will see, but not like in this intense expression. So, the Dwarka Vasis, which are outside the room, the intimate family members like Rukmini and some other queens start like to conjecture about what's taking place on the other side of the door, basically, while they continue hearing Krishna crying. So Rukmini will say, well, I have some experience of that. I mean, now that's coming intensely in the light of the day, but many nights, not to say every night, Krishna is crying and he's calling by name different ladies. I'm quite curious about that. No? That will connect with one of the narratives regarding today's Ratha Yatra. No? He's calling not only different ladies, sometimes he's calling the gopis. So you can imagine you are sleeping with your wife and your husband is calling, no? Maria, Elena, no? in romantic tone. No? So you will have a very unique morning istagosti in a few hours. Now, when you open your eyes, someone will be waiting for you there with some danda, chastisement method. who is that Elena? Who is that Maria? Who are all 108 you were mentioning one after another? Or sometimes Krishna will call in like Yashoda and ask him, Mama, bring butter. Butter, I want butter. Like sleep by crying and calling that while asleep. Or sometimes he will adopt Tri Banga Lalita. He will be three crooked in three parts while sleeping. So the queen sometimes will see all the things. They never been in Vrindavan. Or sometimes they will hear Krishna calling different cows. Calling them, like trying to recollect them after a day outside in the pastures. So Rukmini is giving examples like this, like saying, this is not new in one sense. This is going on, at least for us, his wives, at night in bed. That's happening when he's sleeping. And then Satyabhama interrupts with her unique mood, more left-wing sided, if you will. And she says, but why you are speaking only about the night? That's happening not only during the night, Satyabhama is saying. That's happening during the day sometimes. Sometimes he's approaching me, and instead of calling me by name, he's confusing me with some gopi. And she's saying that not precisely ecstatic because of saying that, no? In her particular mood. So this way, different inhabitants, they're trying to give their versions of it. Baladev also is there. Of course, he had been in Vrindavan, say, and I've gone to Vrindavan, as you know, as a messenger. I've tried to console the Vrajavasis. And Krishna promised that he will go back, but he didn't. Of course, all of them have this idea. It's because of Vrindavan that's taking place. On some level or another, Balaram will know more. The Dwarkavasis just heard on some level about that. But all of them were like conjecturing about what's going on the other side of the door. So suddenly, Krishna opens the door and leaves his room. And he appears in front of the hall of Dwarka, of his intimate retinue there, and all of them will look at him. He stops speaking, and he's crying and crying. All his body's like, how to say, not like drenched with tears, red eyes. No, like after, I mean, you know how you are when you cry after 3-4 hours. Generally, we don't cry for 3-4 hours, but Krishna can do that in a real way. So Krishna looks at all the Dwarkavas and says, yes. My heart is as hard as a thunderbolt, he's basically saying. Because since till now, it has not been split in two yet. Still full, still complete. There must be some lots of hardness in my heart. I just has to do something about this. Like I'm confirming, I'm crying about my Vrindavan, but somehow I remain alive. This classical expression, if I will love you, I mean, the fact that I'm still alive proves that I don't love you. Because if not, in separation from you, I would have died immediately. Many times we hear this type of idea. So Krishna is saying something similar here. Still, my heart remains intact. Basically, I'm still alive. My heart is hard as a thunderbolt. But I have to do something about that. I cannot continue like this. So he asked Uddhava. Remember, Uddhava is a resident of Dwarka. He's Krishna's, minister? Like counselor, personal counselor, and a friend also, and very intimate. And he had been in Vrindavan, as we know. And he had been somehow through some passage rite or something, some form of conversion, if you will, some epiphany after going to the Braj. So Anudava will say, well, I mean, based on my experience after going to Vrindavan and witnessing what they need, how they are and what they need, they told me, and I asked them, and I tried to console them, but they told me, we only want Krishna back. That's the only thing that can console us. Nothing else. Not messages, not letters, not messengers. I mean, we appreciate all that, but we want him back. Now imagine if you're waiting for your beloved and the beloved sends one messenger, Uddhava, second messenger, Balaram, one letter, another letter. I say, okay, thank you, but where are you? We want you, basically. And the years pass, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I know what Uddhava say, they were waiting so much for you that even when they saw me, and they heard the message you were sending through me, because we know on some level that message can be taken as very boring and philosophical. In which Krishna is speaking in a more general way. So Uddhava is saying here through the pen of Sanatana Goswami, when they heard your message through me, they almost die in disappointment. because they were just expecting which is the day that Krishna will return. And that was not included in the message. Till now they're asking that. Till now they're just keeping their life breath only on the that little line of that hope, when you will return. Because you say you will return. And he left Vrindavan, Krishna said, I will return in a few days. But for some people, a few days is subjective, so they are keep waiting. What does it mean a few days for Krishna? Already a century has passed. So anyhow, Uddhava said this and say, and they were just waiting for you, and dying for you, and living for you. And I just tried to do my best while being there. He stayed like for a year after. And I tried to do my best to keep them alive. That was what I could try. I was trying to do. Could you try to imagine the dimension of love? He was struggling to keep them alive. That's not an easy service. But as we said the other day, we have to prepare ourselves for that seven eternity on a daily basis. Or is that they will be about to die. They need to be saved. We now think, I need to be saved. Well, eventually, full circle. So, it is said that then Krishna turned to Balaram, who also went after Uddhava as a messenger, and asked advice, what to do, Balaram? Uddhava was just telling me that I have to return, there's no other option. And Balaram started to describe, according to his own experience, what's the condition of Vrindavan. And again told him, Krishna, only your presence can alleviate the Brajavasis and can then bring them back to life. They are still alive, but they're like an in-between stage. You cannot notice if they're alive or not. Now, sometimes the classical images, they will put some cotton on your nose to see if still some air is passing. So they seem all dead. Still they are alive. Somehow they retain their life breath in the hope of you to come. Because if you go and they are actually dead, that will create suffering from you. And they cannot even think about that. They creating some suffering. So somehow they struggle to remain alive. So what's Krishna's reaction after hearing this from Baladeva and Uddhava? And what's the Dwarkavasi's reaction to Krishna's reaction? I'll read a few verses directly from Sanatana Goswami. Having heard this, Krishna, who is gentle by nature and tormented by the suffering of others, grasped Balaram by the neck and shed a flood of tears, like a person whose life is in ruin. As he cried with loud sobs in his beautiful voice, the tears washed away the cosmetics from his body. He and Balaram then rolled on the ground and for a moment lost consciousness. Seeing the two lords crying in this unprecedented, lamentable state, all the residents of the inner chambers lost control of themselves. Rohini, Uddhava, Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama, and all the rest, they all lost control and sobbed again and again. You can imagine, visualize the situation. All of them on the ground, rolling and crying, like an epidemic of divine lamentation. So this crying became so loud that other yadus who were not at the spot heard that at the distance, like Vasudev, Ugrasen, and they got close to the situation and they contemplated such a... You can imagine the picture, and they themselves start to cry and to sob and to roll on the ground. And it is said that this became so loud, so intense, that it reached the devas on different platforms, and Brahma and others heard that and arrived at the spot. So Brahma saw that and was Vimohan again. Another chapter of his Vimohan series, if you will. And he was thinking how to restore Bhagavan to his normal state. What can I contribute here, basically? So he came with one idea. No? And the idea is basically called Nava Vrindavan. Maybe you hear about that. So Nava Vrindavan means basically like new Vrindavan. So there is one place nearby Dwarka. There was one place there nearby Dwarka called Nava Vrindavan, which was a replica of Vrindavan constructed by Vishwakarma, who is the architect of the devas. So he suggests, let's take Krishna there. That may create some form of give him some solace and some support, in the sense that he won't know actually that that's a replica. So let's try to give him a shot of Vrajabhav. That may be the need. That was he needs to survive immediately, like immediately. But maybe he shouldn't go with everyone because we don't know what will happen, how will he will react. Only he should go with Balaram and Rohini. Like implying, they are the other two who are basically Vrajavasis. So they know Krishna as a Vrajavasi and how he will react to Vrajabhav. Everyone else may be totally shocked and may not know what to do, and that may spoil the whole thing. So only Krishna should go with Baldev and Rohini. So in this replica, there was not only a replica of the trees and the rivers, but of the figures. Yashoda, Radha, Gopis, all of them were there. And they seem as if real. So all the inhabitants of Dwarka were not allowed to go there overtly, like explicitly, how do you say?
Openly.
Yeah, openly. But they were hidden, watching the whole performance. If not performance, but the whole drama, the full unfolding of what's taking, because they were totally curious. I mean, they were hearing Krishna call them so many times, and what will happen now? So again, Balaram woke up, he agreed with the proposal, he dressed himself as a gopa, and he dressed Krishna as a gopa while Krishna was still fainting. He was not aware. He put Bamsi, no, the flute on one side, some cowherd ropes on the other side, no, turban, earring. He made the whole Vrajavasi decoration, gunja berries, all that is defining features of Krishna. Peacock feather and so on. And then he woke up Krishna. No? He woke up. Krishna. No, it's getting late for cow herding. Come on. No? The cows and the Vrajavasis are waiting for us. No, it will happen on any normal day in Vraj. No, he will wake up Krishna. No? To Krishna woke up. Oh. No, like kind of. He saw Balaram as a gopa. He saw himself as a gopa. He saw Vrindavan around him. So he was like, So he saw Nanda Maharaj. He was like a statue, but he saw Nanda Maharaj. He didn't saw a statue. And so he was like, he went to Nanda Maharaj. He put his head on the ground. He touched his feet. And then he saw Yashoda, Rani. And he went to his mother. I say, Ima, I had a very wonderful dream last night. He said, I have to tell you, this is too much. No, I was dreaming that I was leaving Vrindavan and I was going to Mathura and I killed Kamsa. Oh, imagine, killing the king. I killed Kamsa. And then I went to Dwarka and I married so many queens. And he gave a brief summary. And I was enthroned like a prince there. Such a wonderful dream I had last night. Incredible. But well, the dream is over now. Back to reality. Something like that, no? And he's telling Yashoda, it's because of this. That was a pretty long dream, so that was I was not able to wake up early as usual. So excuse me, ma'am, for being late for cowherding. It's because of this unique dream that I had to share with you. Today he offered pranam to Yashoda. They are not replying. No, they're just like statues. And then he goes to Rohini, who was not a statue, remember, was Rohini herself. So just offer pranam to Rohini, the second mother, and Rohini, of course, speaks and tells, go quickly to the forest. You're already late. Your friends are waiting. Me and Yashoda will send you lunch later for you. You want lunch from us? Yeah, please send me lunch for me. Okay, we will make all the arrangements for that. So on the way to the forest, Krishna goes and he finds a murti, if you will, of Sri Radha and some of the gopis. No, so he starts to send some silent glances to the gopis and he starts to play his flute. And so on. I'm giving a summary again. It's a very beautiful detail of the explanation of Sanatana Goswami. So he goes close to Sri Radha and said, "My beloved, why are you not speaking to me? Are you a man? Are you angry with me? No? Maybe you are angry because you know of the dream I had last night," he said, "and you know how many queens I married. Maybe you're angry because of that with me, and that's why you are not answering to me anything." Krishna is saying like this to that. No. But anyhow, you know that you are the love of my life, and today at night we will meet as usual in the right. So he looks and he kisses Radha, embraces her, and continues. I have to go now. See you later. No? So at this point, all the Brajavasis, remember, all the Dwarkavasis, sorry, are looking all this, and they are totally out of their mind. Like, what's going on? This, we never saw this. And so due to ecstasy, they are witnessing a new degree of prem that they only heard about on some level. So they are out of themselves by witnessing this. So Krishna then continues, again, he's in the cowherding dynamics, so he says, okay, he sees the ocean in the distance, say, oh, ocean, let's go there. Mistaking that with this, he didn't say ocean, he said Jamuna. No, that's the Jamuna. Let's take the cows to drink water, and he says to the Murtis of his friends, and then we will have Jal Kelly, we will play in the water, all the place you want, we need to do that for a while, we're already tired. So he goes close to the ocean, and the more, of course, he gets closer to the quote-unquote Jamuna, he realizes, this is too big for being the Jamuna. It has no beginning, no end. What's this? So he looks back, and at the distance from the place he was in, he sees Dwarka. He sees like the big palaces and the big things that are not precisely like Brajavasi huts or something like that. So he starts to question, what is this? And where I am? And then he questions, who I am? He has some kind of existential crisis. Because again, each corresponding dham or place corresponds to one identity of Krishna. So when he's in Vrindavan, he knows who he is. When he's in Dwarka, that's another Krishna. So now he thinks he's in Vrindavan, but he realizes it's another place. Where I am and who I am. You tell me where I am and I will tell you who I am. Something like that, this idea. If you tell me where I'm in Vrindavan, Krishna knows who he is. But in Dwarka, he's somewhere else, someone else, if you will. So at that point, Balaram, who was there, he's reminding Krishna. He's bringing him back to the reality of Dwarka. No, like, you are in Dwarka. You are the master of Dwarka. You are the prince here, and so on. And he explained Brahma's plan and all the background of the whole situation. And Krishna somehow was embarrassed. But he returned gradually to the palace. He was greeted by all the queens, all the Dwarkavasis, and they start to glorify the love of the gopis, because again, all the Dwarka has just become enlightened about what's Brajabhava, and then they were able now to understand Krishna more. Like when Uddhava went to meet Krishna in Vrindavan, he thought he knew Krishna, and he knew him pretty well, but when he met the Brajavasis, he realized, I never met that Krishna, the Krishna they love. Their love corresponds with the Krishna, with the form of Krishna I'm not familiar with. By knowing the love of the Brajavasis, I'm back now to Krishna, and I feel I know him much more. So all the Dwarkavasis were glorifying Gopi Bhav, especially in this way. But Satyabhama was not present in the assembly, because Satyabhama was jealous of the whole situation. That's her mood, basically. So she didn't appear, and Krishna said, where is Satyabhama? She said, she's in her room, angry. Jealous. And she said, bring her to me now. And Krishna speaks very seriously. And when she comes and she hides behind a pillar, and Krishna speaks to her as to make it clear what's the position of, what's the category and the hierarchy in this connection of everyone in Dwarka and Vrindavan. So I'll read you some verses in this connection, what Krishna says to Satyabhama. He says, O weak-minded Satrajiti, another name for Satyabhama, just as you grew angry when Rukmini obtained special favors like the Parijata flower, now you are angry at our intense love for the people of Braj. Silly woman, don't you know that I am ruled by their desires? If the people of Braj thought it good that I renounce everything, I promise you that in a moment I will do just that. But even if for their pleasure I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that will benefit. Now he starts to explain why he's not returning to Vrindavan. Just by seeing me, they become so dazed and bewildered by ecstasies from deep within that they fail to recognize their own bodies and everything that has to do with their bodies. What to speak of the rest of the world? So their pain won't be relieved even if they see me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief. Therefore, my staying with them will be equal to my absence. Realizing this, I have not returned there. Now hear the real reason I married you. Now comes big blow. The sight of Rukmini made me remember the gopis all the more. And the sorrow and distress this caused me made me very much disturbed. Some 16,100 gopis had with vows worshipped Katyayani to obtain me, to bring my mind somewhat to peace by seeing a likeness to them. Of them, I married the same number of you queens here in Dwarka. Krishna is basically saying, I married all of you because somehow you resemble the gopis and made me think about them. So you can imagine Satyabham, how it's just... So Krishna starts to get very deeply absorbed again in glorifying Brajabhava, and Uddhava is there and he's afraid, oh, he will enter into trance again and nobody knows what will happen. So he orders the queens, do something about that. So the queens go to Krishna's feet, they start to glorify him, glorify Brajabhava, and other personalities came, and eventually the whole section of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita closes with Narad Muni appearing on a scene, and he starts to glorify Krishna and glorify the nature of Prem, especially Braja Prem. All this is to highlight the nature of Braja Prem, basically. And Krishna is so much satisfied by hearing Narada glorifying the nature of divine love. And he asks Narada, as I think we said the other day here or somewhere, please take a boon from me. I'm so pleased with you, Narada. Ask me whatever you want. And Narada Muni say, okay. The main thing he will ask is, may nobody be ever satisfied with your prem. I think we said that the other day, no? Right? May whoever attains that prem may never be fully satisfied with that. That's the point. They may always attain newer and newer. And Krishna says, but what's that weird request? I mean, if you pay close attention, it's a fact that that's already taken place. So ask for another boon, basically. Well, implying the nature of prem is to throw the person who has that prem, the premika, into an ocean of divine dissatisfaction. It's way above mere satisfaction. In the conditioned state, we may be after satisfaction, self-satisfaction, but the goal of post-liberated goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is of another nature. So anyhow, this is an introduction to Dwarka and in connection to Brajabhava and how Brajabhava can take place in the context of that. So now I'd like to share in a brief way, some narratives that are more and more connected with today's celebration. Rath Yatra, all this in connection to Dwarka. To begin with one classical narrative that will be more tied to Dwarka, Brajabhava, and the forms of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And the first, in the introduction, we have not yet touched Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Rath Yatra. We have touched Dwarka and Brajabhava. Now we will go to one story about the forms of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, how they take place in connection with Brajabhava in Dwarka. And the last story will be in connection to Rath Yatra per se. So this is, all these stories, of course, share some common elements from the other ones. So this particular one has to do with the Dwarkavasis, again, hearing Krishna calling the gopis at night, the queens calling, hearing Krishna calling Yashoda, Radha, Lalita, Madhu Mangals, etc. Everyone, cows. And they are become more and more intrigued as the time passes. Like, who are these Brajavasis? What's the love they have for Krishna? Why Krishna is dreaming all night about them and during day he seems lost somewhere else? We are not fully able to figure out what's taking place in his mind. So we want to know him more. We want to serve him more. But it's like a mystery for us. We heard about these first 11 mysterious years in Vrindavan, but we don't have a clue what happened there. So all these queens, after being so much intrigued, they go to Rohini in Dwarka. Who remembered? Rohini is living in Dwarka as Balaram, but they witnessed Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So they are Brajavasis, basically. So they go to Rohini and ask, please, can you narrate Brajalila Katha for us? So we can further grasp who is Krishna. We know one side of Krishna. We are very, it's very clear for us, very apparent. There is some other side to him that we have no experience of. So we would like at least to glimpse at that. So Rohini says, okay, I'll share Braja Lila Katha with you. But this is very intense, Rohini said. The depth of love and experience, the interaction there is too much. So I don't know what will happen. What will happen to me? What will happen to all of you? So we have to take some, cautionary measurements or something like that. So let's do the and especially, I don't know what will happen if Krishna and Balaram get to hear about that. Oh my God, I don't know. I mean, we just knew, but this Lila, she said, I don't know what will happen. So we have to make sure that somehow or other, Krishna and Balaram are not present in the assembly. So it will be between you and me, all you queens, and me in a secluded, closed space. And actually, we need to put someone to guard the door in case Krishna and Balaram happen to come nearby. So you will, whatever, you will have some little bell or something, and the narration will stop if they're coming, because we don't know what will happen. Everything may collapse. So Subhadra is appointed to be the one, the Jai Bijai one, the gatekeeper. So Subhadra, Krishna's sister, is there. So she's, okay, she's, her duty is just look out for Krishna and Balaram and let me know, Rohini told. If they are coming, I'll stop the narrative at the moment. Okay, so Rohini starts Braja Lila Katha, in chronological order, from Krishna's birth and all the unfolding of the different Lilas. Kumar Lila, Poganda Lila, Kishore Lila, and entering deeper and deeper and deeper and getting lost and found in that Harikatha. Herself, especially being a Brajavasi, but all the queens also get in totally one epiphany after another, but get into that their Krishna is like showing himself in so many new layers in front of them through the lens of Harikatha. So everyone is totally absorbed and thrilled, and nobody's paying attention to anything else. So that's why they needed someone else attentive to what they have to be attentive, which was Subhadra. But somehow Subhadra was there as a gatekeeper and was watching out Krishna and Balaram, they shouldn't come. But she was close enough to the narration to have one ear hearing Braja Lila Katha. So gradually was one year, but eventually she was totally captured. It was half of her was inside, half of her was outside, but eventually it was like the percentage, the scale turns 100% and 108% to the Braja Lila equation. So she lost all composure and all loss, and she became Subhadra as we saw her in the altar with Jagannath and Baladev. So eyes expanded, arms contracted, to the point of no arms in the case of Subhadra. They are pretty contracted. And stamba, without moving, and all these different sattvic vibes, all these different existential ecstasies. So, gatekeeper gone. And casually, Krishna and Balaram happened to be walking nearby the area. So at distance they saw Subhadra, they saw their sister in such a way, like a voodoo totem or something. And they, of course, they are rasikas. They are connoisseurs of love. So they know what's happening if someone is exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. So at distance, they examine, scan Subhadra's condition, and they look at each other like, something very interesting must be happening over there, because look how our sister is doing. So they got close. And again, Rohini continued the narration. The queens were absorbed. Nobody knew that Subhadra had collapsed and became what she became. So Krishna and Balaram get closer, and one stands on one side of Subhadra, the other on the next side, like you see in the altar. Subhadra is in the center, the Jagannath Balaram, and they start to hear. And gradually, eyes start to expand, arms start to contract, and all these different bodily ecstasies invade both Krishna and Balaram, and they acquire this form that we know as Jagannath Baladev in Subhadra, as they appear in Puri. So this is one lila that journalists shared in connection to how to explain these three forms, which are pretty, how to say, wondrous, in connection to the Dwarka lila, but in connection to the Braja lila specifically as well. So now we will go to the final story that we would like to share today, which is taking us finally to the chariot festival. First, we try to prepare the ground with some other narratives, all of them in connection with Dwarka and Vrindavan. But now we will go to the Rath Yatra per se, which what we are celebrating today, again, from the perspective of Dwarka. We already touched on the Kurukshetra lens. Now we'll go to the Dwarka lens. So this particular narrative begins somewhat similarly to the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna is extremely disturbed in Dwarka, falling unconscious in separation from the Brajavas. And of course you may go there and there will be many of similar stories with slight variation, but if you pay attention, all of them are making the same point. Again, all of this Dwarka lila is pointing back to Braj. Dwarka lila, Kurukshetra lila, Jagannath Puri representing one or the other. So again, one day Krishna is crying, deep separation from the Brajavas, is not performing his duties as a king there. So Balaram is there, Narada is there, Subhadra is there, so many others are there. And what to do? What's the solution to this dilemma? So Narada Muni is in this case the one who will propose something. And he will say, I'll sing Brajalila Kahani. I will invoke topics about Vrindavan with my Veena. And Krishna will wake up. Because he was unconscious. He was not returning. So they were thinking how to make him return. So Narada said, I know how to make him return. He will start singing. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Rama. So, and everyone agrees, okay, Narada Muni, this our sage, Devarishi Narada has spoken. So, but the point is, okay, you will see he will wake up, but after he will wake up, he will want to go to Braj immediately. And we are in Dwarka. That's not precisely on the other side of the corner. But he will want to go to Vrindavan, and most of them will say, okay, no problem. But Narada Muni say, well, if he goes now to Braj, we don't know what will happen to him. I mean, if he goes suddenly there and he just arrived to Braj, I would say, impromptu, without them knowing, we don't know, because the Brajavasis at present, Narada Muni is aware, they are suffering so much in separation from Krishna. As we mentioned before, they are just on the verge of death. This is the last stage of separation, mriti. So if Krishna goes and suddenly sees the condition of the Brajavasis as they are now, we don't know what will happen to Krishna by witnessing that. He has heard about that, but witnessing that with his own eyes. So maybe what we can do is, we can do that, but organize the whole thing. Not just like Krishna wakes up and just runs to Vrindavan and finds such a shocking stage. So we can maybe send a message with Uddhav. Already Uddhav did that in the past. And Uddhav will say, he will raise his hand. I was not able to do that much. He said, I tried to do my best. I somehow helped to keep them alive. But I was not really able to fully console them. The only thing that will console them is that I concluded, I went with so much philosophy and Siddhanta, and you are so fortunate, Nanda Yashoda, you love God as your child. It didn't work. I tried to inject Aishwarya in their DNA. It didn't work. At the end, I realized the only thing I can say, the best possible thing, is Krishna will return soon to you. That's the only thing they had an ear for. And I had to repeat that over and over again. But Uddhav would say, and I did that, and I say that so many times, but if I go now there, they will see me and say, they won't believe me a word. Because I told them so many times, Krishna will return, but he never returned. So they will think Uddhav is a liar. Now he's coming again with some other lie. So they won't have ears for me. So then the Dwarkavasi say, maybe Balaram. Balaram is a better option. He's a Vrajavasi. Balaram says, I already went there as a messenger some years back. And again, nothing was working. I tried to console. Of course, he did better than Uddhav, his Vrajavasi. But he realized the same thing. The only thing that will work here is Krishna has to be back himself. So if I return myself, Balaram say, without Krishna, they won't believe me. So I don't think that's the best plan. So what we can do? So then Subhadra raised her hand and said, I can go. I can go. I'm a lady. I'm more trustworthy than men. And I never went there as a messenger, so I don't have my reputation, like, how do you say? Tainted? No.
Ruined.
Yeah, basically. So I will go, and I will sit on the lap of Yashoda Mai, and I will tell Krishna just on his way. Everything is being prepared. Some kings are worshipping him on the path. That's why he's delayed, but he's coming. So they will believe me. So everyone kind of felt, yeah, that sounds like a plan. So Balaram said, I'll go also. Again, I say I won't go myself first, when I will follow you. Because also you are my younger sister, so I have to go. So in this way, Balaram said, I go. So they brought the chariots. So here, Rathyatra, Dwarka version starts to take shape. So the chariots go first. Baladev is going first. Because again, Subhadra is going first, but Balad is going first in the chariot, like, I'm protecting my... But when we are getting closer, okay, you enter first now, and basically. So first Baladev, then Subhadra, and at the end, Jagannath. At the end, Krishna, who is still thrown on the floor, fainted, totally intoxicated by the wine of separation. So the chariots were made, and everyone started to go to Vrindavan. So it is said that when they were getting close to Vrindavan, the ones coming from Dwarka and the chariots, they were shocked by what they saw there, the condition of the Vrajavasis. There are different ways that they depict this. And some of them will say that Yashoda was still standing like a statue in the same spot where Krishna left, which was taken by Akrura when he left Vrindavan, just looking at the horizon of that same distance. Point where he was leaving and he was supposed to be returning. So from that day, for decades, he was just standing like a statue, looking without blinking in that particular spot, waiting for Krishna, waiting for Godhuli or some cow dust to indicate, or some dust to indicate he's coming. Or some other will say her house. There are different versions, and all of them make the point. Some of them will say, in madness, she continues cooking, expecting Krishna to come. Or some other will say, her whole kitchen was full of, how to say, cobwebs or something? Because
cobwebs.
Okay. Because she was not, Gopal was not there. Or it is said that the gopis were so thin in separation that the rings of her fingers now were used as bracelets. Some depicting, some pictorial idea of how thin they were. It is said that Govardhan was becoming smaller and smaller in separation of Krishna, not only because of the curse it received. Jamuna was drying. Rupa Goswami, well, in poetic terms, well depict. All the trees of Vrindavan were about to die because of being dried, but none of the trees died because all of them were watered by oceans of tears from the Vrajavasis. So in both ways they are indicating they were keeping alive among themselves, although that was not conscious intention, basically. So it is said that when Baladeva and Subhadra arrived there and contemplated such a scene, they were so deeply affected that they became Stamba, and all the members started to adopt the forms that we know in the altar, like Jagannath, well, not Jagannath here, but Baladeva and Subhadra, big eyes, inserted arms, and sometimes called Mahabhav Prakash, like manifestation of the greatest ecstatic emotion. So Subhadra was not able to give any message because she collapsed right witnessing the condition of the Vrajavasis, and Baladev in the same way. Krishna is still in Dwarka, fainted. Because again, the idea was they go first. They give the message, they prepare the ground, they tell the Vrajavasis Krishna is coming, and then somehow we receive the news in Dwarka and we take Krishna there. So in Dwarka, Krishna takes, Narada Muni takes his Bina, and he starts to sing some Brajalila Katha, no? Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janabalaba Giri Boradhadi, and so on. So Krishna starts the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song reveals in the midst of the Lila somehow. So Krishna hears all this Brajalila Katha from the mouth of Narada. So immediately he wakes up and puts his hand on his wrist, you say, looking for his flute. Oh. And he wakes up but sees Narada Muni and says, Uddhav. I said, like, where I am? Again, he immediately was thrown into Brajabab, but then he finds like a somehow contradictory stage. And they remind him where you are. Actually, you are in Dwarka. And Krishna starts to cry like mad. You know, like, I want to go to Raj. I want to go to Raj. And they say, yes, we know that. I mean, we knew that will be your reaction. So everything is ready for that to happen. And they explain the plan they had. So Krishna is kind of intoxicated at that point. And that's the state in which they carry him to the chariot. And that's why Jagannath in the Rath Yatra is being carried like that, according to our Gaudiya lens. No? That ceremony of the festival is Pahandi Vijay. And if you see, they will carry Jagannath like this. No? Like when you have your friend and you took some extra cups of drink at night, he's not able to return home by himself. So he needs his two friends like to. And actually they are carrying him. He's not able almost to walk. So here we have Krishna totally drunk by love of separation of Vrajavasa. So in this way, Jagannath, if you see in the Rath Theatre, he's taken to the chariot in that state, like moving him like this, like indicating he's drunk. He's totally intoxicated by Radha Madhuri, by the wine of the prem of Vrindavan and Radha in particular, as we'll see. So going back to Vrindavan for a moment, to say that Sri Radha, since we invoke her name and presence, she's dying in separation from Krishna more than ever. Of course, that possibility reaches new heights every day. So Sri Radha is lying in Nidavan, almost with her last breath, basically. She's lying in the lap of Lalita. And there again, they're trying to put some cotton to test she's alive. They're putting sandalwood paste to refresh her, but immediately touches her feverish-like body. It becomes like, it breaks and becomes like dust. So all Vrindavan is surrounding at this moment. Sometimes it's described like that. All of the Vrajavas are surrounding Sri Radha and crying and I'm praying, please do not leave us. Do not leave us. You are Vrindavaneshwar. You know, if you leave us, we will die. All Vrindavan will disappear. You know, without you, there is no Vrindavan. So all her so-called enemies, if you want to put it like that, appear on this scene. So Chandravali appears there, which of course is the cousin of Sri Radha, but in the dynamics of the Lila, she seems like the rival lover. So she's crying at the feet of Sri Radha and is telling, please do not leave us, do not leave us. And the only reason Krishna is coming to visit me in my kunja is only because he wants to relish your man. When you get angry with him because he visits me, that's the only reason why she comes to me. It's not actually he loves me. He loves you 108%. So, but he relishes so much seeing you in Manini state. That's why I'm being instrumental in this. I'm just playing this secondary role for your sake. And then, I don't know, comes Kutila. And again, I have crying at the feet of Sri Radha. I have offended you so much. By defaming, you say? Mm-hmm. Defaming you, not here and there. There are many Leelas in that connection. We won't enter into the details now. So, all of them crying there. Then Abhimanyu comes into the scene, the so-called husband of Sri Radha, also crying at the feet of Sri Radha. Please do not leave. Some people say, I'm your husband, but that never happened. We never enter in contact in ourselves, so that's just some myth. So all of Vrindavan is even, again, the so-called anti-party, crying at the feet of Sri Radha, please, do not leave us. And so meanwhile, Krishna is being brought as fast as possible in the chariot. Krishna is totally recovering from his intoxication somehow. And when they arrive to Vrindavan, the news about Radha's condition reaches Krishna's ears, so he goes straight to her, running, and he finds her just on the border of death. Mm-hmm. And again, try to keep in mind, this is Ratha Yatra, basically. No? These are the three chariots and the journey from Dwarka to Vrindavan. No? Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So when Krishna sees Radha in that particular condition, he falls into an intense ecstatic experience, and he adopts the form of Jagannath. Now his eyes start to expand, his arms start to become like extended and enter into his body, and so many other symptoms come. So they are together, but the two of them are basically in their own world of ecstatic fainting or whatever. So Brinda Devi is there. So Brinda Devi organizes, she's the orchestrator of these details. So some breeze, you say breeze? Mm-hmm. Breeze may move the fragrance of Krishna's body and enter into Sri Radha's nostrils, who was fainted on the ground. Mm-hmm. And when that's happening, immediately Lalita Devi also tells Radha and the ear, Krishna has come. Krishna has finally come. Mm-hmm. Krishna has come. So Sri Radha opens her eyes, but now Krishna has come, but he's gone because he's in ecstasy, fainted next to him. So basically, gradually, Vishakha goes now next to Krishna and goes to her ears and starts to chant Radhi, 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 Radhi. You know, so it is said that in that moment, Krishna starts to awake, you know, and Radha starts to awake, and they, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj said, there was union, eye to eye union, one another. Basically, and finally the union between Radha and Krishna happened finally, and Krishna says that to commemorate this unique pastime, he said, I will keep my Mahabhav Prakash Roop, this form of ecstatic symptoms that I manifested by seeing you, I will keep that form eternally in Puri, and I will be worshipped, and there we will be finding each other, one another constantly. So Sri Jagannath sometimes is called Radha Viraha Bidudharupa, or the form in which Krishna adopts a particular form out of extreme separation from Sri Radha. That's basically, for us Gaudiyas, again, for us Gaudiyas, what Jagannath is ultimately about. That's a result of Radha Prem. The impact, the arrows of Radha Prem on Krishna in separation from her, that's the God we worship, Jai Jagannath. So basically, this is a very beautiful narrative to connect this Ratha Yatra festival in relation to Dwarka, and how the whole procession of the Ratha Yatra represents a journey from Dwarka to Gundicha, to Vrindavan. And speaking about the power of love and how that love is all conquering. No? Interestingly, we were speaking yesterday, the main figure in one sense in the Lila is Jagannath, in the center, and we know this expression that came from, if I'm not mistaken, from the Europeans eventually, juggernaut. And I knew the general idea of that, but I looked for the specific definition that is given, and juggernaut is translated as a massive, inexorable force, campaign, movement, or object that crushes whatever is in its path. That's Jagannath. That's the movement of Jagannath. It's a movement, inexorable force, the force of love, a campaign, a movement, Mahaprabhu's movement, worshipping Jagannath. And Jagannath is, again, Krishna is driven by Radha Bhav, and crushing anything on its way. That's it. The chart going to Vrindavan, going to save Sri Radha, and crushing everything on its way. Like Srila Siddhama, Hari Bhagati Premnasa Bhava Kuti Labhaved. Rupa Goswami said, love moves in a crooked way like a snake. And Srila Siddhama will say, love moves like a snake because in its movement, it embraces everything that is on its way. It's not leaving everything behind. Because if you walk in a straight line, so many things can be left behind on both sides. But if you walk like this, you're embracing everything and making all that part of your campaign, of your progress, of your equation. So this is the very idea of juggernaut, a very powerful force that is crushing everything in its path. So that's the power of love. No matter what you put in on its way, love will take that and will nourish from that. No, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defines that in Prem Samput. He says the power, love is feeding from obstacles. So if you put obstacles in someone who has no love, maybe the person gets discouraged and that's over. The expedition is over. But if someone has love, whatever you put on it on their way as obstacles, they will feed on those obstacles and regain new strength. And he gives the example of a lion that is walking, and on the path an elephant comes, and the elephant wants to attack. It's an obstacle. But the lion defeats the elephant and eats the elephant. So it becomes strengthened by the obstacle and continues his campaign with renewed force. So similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's the nature of Prem. If someone has Prem, especially the Prem of the Vrajavasis, you put whatever you like on the obstacle, on the way. Not separation, Aishwarya, as we spoke these days. Vrajavasis will witness Aishwarya, their Madhurya will increase. Krishna is showing majesty, their intimacy will increase. You put separation, their love will increase. You put union, their love would increase. The prem will become expanded and expanded and expanded. So I will say that for us Gaudias, even the implications of the term juggernaut are more precise than the notion of Jagannath as mere lord of the universe, if you will. I'm not saying that from now on we will sing Jai Juggernaut Baladev Subhadra, but we have to bear in mind, no? The European who invoked that, although some may interpret that in a negative connotation, we can own that definition and reproduce that in our particular context. So anyhow, some words we want to share today in this sacred occasion, most sacred occasion of Sri Ratha Yatra, from the perspective of Sri Dwarka Dham, in appreciation of Vrajabhav. So, I don't know if there are any questions or comments or things you may like to share, to contribute with. Rigupat Prabhu has some contribution to the cause.
I really don't like Dwarakesh Krishna.
Okay.
I hate him almost.
Okay.
Because, and also the Dwarakavasis, they are so stupid.
This is a Rigupat I like to say. Yeah. The scholar bureaucracy is over here.
Yes.
We want to see the real.
Yeah. Because Krishna is saying, I love the Vrajavasis so much, and their love, it conquers everything. And then for 100 years, he's not going back to Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sending Uddhava to say that I'm coming, in a few days I will come. And he doesn't go. And then he's sending some letters. It's so infuriating to think about. I get so upset when I think about. And then in Dwaraka, then when he is crying for the Vrajavasis, then they make this stupid Nava Vrindavan, which is just for like let's console Krishna, and they're not even thinking about the Vrajavasis,
mm-hmm.
that they need to be consoled. They're just thinking, how shall we
keep him
happy?
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't like it. So that's that, but I like the last story when they are finally bringing him to Vrindavan. But what would you say? I mean, Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatam,
mm-hmm.
of course, he explains why Krishna can't go back to Vrindavan, but
mm-hmm.
it's not convincing, I think. I want him to go to Vrindavan.
I would say that's the very intention of this story, that someone like Brihupada will say, I want him to go to Vrindavan. I want him to go. This is nothing else is enough. No? I think also the very purpose of this narrative is to take us to that Vrajavasi conclusion, because that's what the Vrajavasis are like saying. We want nothing else. We only want him going back. So the idea is that each one of us are transported to that very like empathic support, like, yeah, only him returning, well, that's the only way. And stupid Dwarkavas and all. With all respect, of course, to them, we have to, yeah, the Brigupa now is returning after catharsis. Of course, there are so many ways that our acharyas try to explain that. Of course, to begin with, the very basic explanation is he never leaves Vrindavan. So we have to put that. We have to put that on the scale, Prabhupada. You have to put that one on the scale. On the eternal lila, he never leaves Vrindavan. On the earthly lila, that's predominated by separation. So it seems he leaves Vrindavan in one particular form, although he remains there eternally. He cannot leave. And the purpose of separation is making the heart grow fonder. And blessing so many, of course, also of the prem, premikas, sadhana siddhas that are entering there, and they need to further upgrade their prem. And the only way that they will upgrade their prem is by going through some intense fire of separation. So there's like very multi-purpose dynamics happening at the same time. So, but I would say that the very end, to go to a practical thing is that, yeah, the whole purpose of this story is that you really feel this, like emotional a connection and identification with the Vrajavasis. Like, okay, they are the real heroes here. No, I want to follow them. I want to be one of them, and so on. Of course, much more can be said in connection to Krishna leaving Vrindavan and reasons for that to happen, but I fear that Prabhupada may get too emotional and may start to break the house or something. We have just had a glimpse of the non-scholar Prabhupada does. So I think that's enough dose for today. Maybe in these days we can try to... No. That's who you are. We are getting a hint of the real Prabhupada here. So we are happy. Thank you so much. Something else? Omkar is saying Jai Juggernauts. Jai. That's another conclusion. Yeah, Nora.
You have mentioned a couple of times during these days that we have to prepare ourselves to keep our, like, Mahaprabhu alive in the Nitya Lila. So is it like there also that we take part in short time period of his life, like Adi Lila or Madhya or...
Again, what did you say at the end? Like the last part is...
In Nitya Lila, in Gora Lila.
Yeah.
Is it so that we take part in Shirtan, like Adi Lila or Madhya Lila or Antya Lila according to our liking? Like, if it's so in Krishna Lila that we worship him, I mean serve him, in Shirtan age that we feel most attracted to.
Well, that's a whole topic to be elaborated on. There has not been that much detailed description. What's my point with this? The general idea is that we are, because we have the prospect of worshipping Krishna as Gaudiyas mostly in Vrindavan. That's the window that Mahaprabhu comes to give. Prema rasa niryasa kurite ashvatan raga marga bhakti loki kurite prachana. But of course we have Krishna in Dwarka, we have Krishna in Mathura, but generally we won't think we will choose those options because basically our sampradaya is not focused in that direction. Although in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan window, there are some opportunities, there is some variety there. So according to one's association one may have, there may be certain tendencies. And of course in the Nitya Lila, again, there is Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan, but our window as Gaudiyas will be Vrindavan, unless someone has some bhakti samskar from previous life and somehow it's connected to Mahaprabhu. This, that can happen. Some will be more like an exception to the rule, which we are not downplaying because of being the exception, but just... And regarding Mahaprabhu, the general idea is to worship him in Navadvip. Generally, we hear Nitya Navadvip. Here, Navadvip means what we see mostly in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example. Him being Vishwambar, not being a sannyasi, not leaving Navadvip, and so on. So that's the main conception that our acharyas had given when writing about that, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Gopal Guru Goswami, Dhyana Chandra Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They have described Ashtakaliya Lila of the eternal dynamics of Mahaprabhu in Golok, but they will say Golok Navadvip. That said, there are some devotees who are of the opinion that there is a Jagannath Puri in which Mahaprabhu eternally resides in Vaikuntha. Again, that has not been very elaborated, but from what I could glimpse. I was speaking recently with Madhavananda Prabhu. He told me that even there are some Gaur Astakaliya Lila in Jagannath Puri, in which he's perpetually a sannyasi, by more kind of obscure texts from Orissa, not so popular, but some ideas are there, and I have gone through some in the book project I have in mind, that part comes at one point. So there has been some exchanges, and you have this section in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, which in the journey of Gopakumar in Vaikuntha, at one point he is in Jagannath Puri. So there are some ways one could make a case for that to happen, which again is not it's not the general emphasis of our Sampradaya, but there is room for further exploration, basically. But again, the general mode, as we say, as the Brajavasis want Krishna back in Vrindavan, do not like to see Krishna as a, whatever, a prince, a king, a big guy. The parallel of this big guy of Krishna outside of Vrindavan is Mahaprabhu Sannyas. So all the Nadiya Vasis are, they do not like Mahaprabhu Sannyas.
So it's up until 24 or?
Sorry?
Of his age. 24 he took Sannyas?
Or? Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So following the feeling of the Nadiya Vasis, they will reply kind of what Bhrigu, but say, I hate that Sannyas. I hate Katwa. I hate that Keshava. I'm just joking. I know the Brigupa is properly respectful, but there is place for some expressions of bhav there, some emotion. So yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself sings about, like, oh, when Nimai will leave his sannyas and return to Navadvip with us. So that's kind of the portal we have received in our Bhaktivinoda Parivar. Of course, it doesn't mean that we will. We have to understand that. It doesn't mean like, okay, let's study Madhya Lila. Oh, no, Maharaj, that's Mahaprabhu's sannyas. I hate that. No, it's not like that. No, I mean, you can say I hate that when you have studied everything and appreciated everything. That comes some proper bhav, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he will leave that sannyas. But first you have to worship his sannyas and learn that. That's why, like, one devotee was asking me some months ago in Kansas, that was a good question. He was pointing at the Panchatattva. Well, there was one picture of the Panchatattva. He told Maharaj, there we have, who are there? He asked me. So I repeated the Panchatattva mantra. Say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gopal. Say, but you say Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Say, but Mahaprabhu is not Sri Krishna Chaitanya then. Yeah, you're right. I say, why we worship the Panchatattva with the mantra that includes Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi? Because we are not projecting that into eternity. And he was curious about that. He was not like challenging, just like wanting to know. I mean, we project to worship him not as a sannyasi. So why we repeat this mantra? And of course, the main idea that came is because in order to worship him not as a sannyas, first we have to worship him as a sannyas. We have to learn through all his acharya lilas, my Gurmash likes to say first. That's why the Gaur Gayatri also begins with the first name of the three names is Chaitanya. And then comes Vishwambar Gaur. You want Vishwambar Gaur? First Chaitanya, first the sannyas. First go through Puri, first learn from all that he taught as by example, by precept. And all the whole lila in Jagannath Puri, Gambira, points back to Navadvip, to where it all began. Points back to Srivasangam, points down to the entrance of that eternal Rasa Kirtan in the courtyard of Srivas Pandit. But first we have to be able to to appreciate his sannyas. Similarly, in order to enter Braj, we have to go through Mathura and Dwarka and appreciate those things that we may say, I hate that, but I know that in depth those are helping us a lot. Those are creating a very particular lens to appreciate Vrindavan for a very unique perspective. That without that, we don't have that other point of reference to create the contrast and realize, wow. And so they are creating that contrast that further highlights the glory of Vrindavan. So that's a way of indirect paroksha bhava, indirect speech, but it's an indirect praise of the Braj by showing what Braj is not and putting the two of them together and see the contrast of one another. So we need to go through those things, all the separation that it entails and the contrast between Aishwarya and Madhurya. All the things have to be in place in our conception and our spirit in bhajan, so someday we can enter that land that is made of that. So, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Can you also say something about that we can enter both lilas, Krishna and Gaura lila? Can you say something about it?
Yeah. Well, basically that's... Of course, it's not like an imposition. It's not that we are condemned to do that. It will happen if we want that. In other words, it will depend on which level of affinity we have in our bhajan. If we conduct ourselves, and that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says and some others, if you conduct your worship by having equal level of attraction to both lilas, you have an identity there. But if you kind of conduct your, for example, your worship of Mahaprabhu more as a mere bridge to Krishna Lila, as just like a medium, a means to the goal of Krishna Lila, then you may attain Krishna Lila exclusively, if you will, but not Gaur Lila. Which, of course, in one sense, Gaur Lila is non-different from Krishna Lila, but it's a very special and unique extension of Krishna Lila, chamber of Krishna Lila that you may choose to access or not. Again, it's not like force. And there are some Gaudiyas who of course have this type of affinity, have more affinity for Gaur Lila than Krishna Lila. Again, when I'm speaking in this way, do not create a dichotomy in your mind, no? Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, like Kurus, Pandavas or whatever, black or white. They're the same thing, but one unique expression of the other. So some will have more affinity to Gaur Lila, some will have more affinity to Krishna Lila, some will have more affinity to both. So there will be a corresponding experience of them in eternity, depending how we conduct in our bhajan here now. That's what Krishna said, Yatamam Prapadante, and so many verses in the basis. As you approach me in bhajan, I will reward you in sadhya. As you approach me in sadhana, I will reward you accordingly in sadhya. Pun bhakti yoga parivabrita hilitsaroja. And so on. Jadjata urugaya vibhava yantitatta apu pranyasit sadhanu grahaya. So there is place, of course, again, we try to think too much about that in three-dimensional terms and we may collapse because we have enough of dealing with one's identity and the mind we have now. We think, do not give me two, please. But it's not about two, although it seems two. Try to keep in mind this Advaya Gyan Tattva, this non-dual nature of transcendence. So it's one reality, but expressed in two ways. And again, till on some level we can just make it fit in our heads. It still may seem... You are two people, but you are not two people. No, do not go dysfunctional, because that may be too much. I'm two people. What's going on? I'm one. No? I become two. So as Srila Prabhupada will say, try to go there and find it for yourself. No? Try to whatever remains as a mystery to be fully grasped and realized will come in meditation and revelation as a result of our bhajan. But yeah, the possibility is there, and that's why our acharyas have kind of intertwine their presentation of Krishna Lila with Gaur Lila, Gaur Chandrika, and these type of systems that have been introduced, trying to create a connection between these Lilas, parallels between different Lilas, and how, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, the deeper you go into Gaur Lila, the more you emerge in Krishna Lila, the deeper you go in Krishna Lila, the more you emerge in Gaur Lila. It's a state of consciousness. But yeah, I'm planning to write a whole book on that. So that will be my belated reply to your questions in a few years if Mahaprabhu wants to bless. So remind me about that in a few later visits. Okay. Something else? Okay, I think we can conclude here. It's 1 hour and a half already. So tomorrow we will have Harikatha in the morning, I think, first. Brahma Stuti at 10 a.m. Finland time, a.m. And again, I think we have Istagosti question and answers in the evening, 5:30 Finland time. So whoever wants to come, you're invited. Thank you so much. Shri Gurudev ki jai, Shri Man Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Ratayatra ki jai, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadri ki jai, Shri Shri Jugarnath Baladev Subhadri ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Priman Hari Gaur.